Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning about who Jesus is to each and every person that he knows personally. The message is called Joy to the World, so let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 as we go back to basics.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In these verses, we have one of the most profound and glorious promises ever given to the human race. The hope of the world does not rest on political principles, laws of progress, advance of civilization, or any such thing, but on a living person in whom all the principles that make for righteousness and blessedness of individuals, communities, and nations are incarnated. Now, here in Isaiah's prophecy, we have a promise to Israel, to the nations in general, and to believers individually. It's the promise of justice, peace, and righteousness everywhere and forever. Imagine, if you can, a world free of injustice. No oppression, no exploitation, no intimidation, no extortion. Nothing inequitable. Imagine a world like that. Now, we have lived in a fairly just nation for the most part. We don't know the extremes of oppression that others have known, or exploitation or intimidation. But of course, you don't have to go far to find that that has been sort of the dominant environment that people have lived in. But we're talking about a world where none of that exists, a world free of injustice. Imagine a world free of strife. Imagine a world where there were actually no wars, no hostilities of any sort, no threats, no harsh words, no unkindness anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances. Oh, what a beautiful world it would be if that were the case. Again, sometimes I know for myself, you kind of remove from a lot of these things, especially when you become a Christian and most of your associations are with God's people. You don't all that often find yourself in situations where there's real hostilities or threats or harsh words. I mean, it does happen occasionally. And we all know that those are some of the most unpleasant times. But imagine a world where none of that exists. Imagine a world filled with righteousness. Everyone is kind, considerate, compassionate, gracious, and loving. What a wonderful world that will be. That world is coming. It's coming. It's coming through the child that was born and the son that was given, whose names are given to us here as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One writer said this. He said, they are compound names because the unique dignity of this deliverer cannot be covered by single names, and four of them because no one name can comprehend the multitude of blessings that he brings or the manifold works that he successfully achieves. And so today what we want to do is we want to look at these names. First of all, we want to look at them in the context that they're given, because the context here, of course, is universal. The context is when the Lord, for us now, it's the context is when the Lord comes back. When these prophecies were originally given, nobody understood that there were going to be actually two comings of the Lord, and that there would be a long time period between the two. But we, of course, know that now. So these are prophecies. Their ultimate fulfillment will be universal when the Lord returns. So we want to look at them in that sense first, and then look at them more personally after having done that. So first of all, we have the name here, Wonderful Counselor. Now, depending on what version of the Bible you have, some versions give us five names separating Wonderful and Counselor, two distinct titles, where other versions combine them together, and I guess basically from the Hebrew you can do either. I think it's better to probably combine them, because the other three are obviously combined. And so not Wonderful and then distinct from Wonderful Counselor, but combining them together, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor emphasizes primarily that he will be most effective in formulating a plan of action that will result in universal peace and prosperity. So it's speaking of him being this wonderful counselor in regard to the development of a plan that is going to truly accomplish peace and prosperity. No more will people look to Congress or Parliament or the United Nations or the G8 or any other group of blind leaders. For one whose name is Wonderful Counselor will sit upon the throne of David, and through perfect wisdom will establish a just and righteous world. I love this passage. And of course, it is a text that speaks to us of what we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Christ. But it's more than that. It's a text that speaks to us of the ultimate accomplishments of Christ. But I love to read over these passages, just to think on them and to ponder them, and especially in relation to what you read in the news. And, you know, isn't it true that today so often we're reading about and we're seeing clips on the news of all of these leaders of the nations gathering together in one summit after another, one meeting after another, and they're all planning and they're trying to come up with a strategy to bring about a better world. That's basically what they're doing. But obviously, they're not doing that good of a job, are they? Things seem to continue to, in many ways, go from bad to worse. But there's a day coming when all of that will be over, because the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, will sit upon the throne, and with perfect wisdom, he will establish a just and a righteous world. So he is the Wonderful Counselor. But then secondly, he is the Mighty God. He is the Mighty God. Now, I think sometimes we do this, and it's okay to do it, and it's right to do it. But sometimes as Christians, we look at this passage and We look at it as a proof text for the divinity of Christ, the deity of Christ. And it's fine to do that if we're maybe wanting to show somebody that Jesus is more than just a mere human being, that he's actually God in the flesh. We can point to Isaiah 9:6 for that because it said here that he's the mighty God. But that's not the real intention of the author, Isaiah. The real intention of Isaiah is to show that the wonderful counselor who comes up with this most brilliant plan is also the mighty God who is capable of accomplishing the task before him. That he is nothing less, or has nothing less, than the full omnipotence of God at his command. So, you know, it's possible for somebody to come up with a good strategy, a good plan, but yet not necessarily have the power or the ability that's necessary to implement the plan. Again, not so with the Lord. He not only will have the best plan, he has all power to implement the plan. So he's the mighty God. But then also he's referred to here as the everlasting Father. Now again, sometimes we read it in such a way as to sort of miss the context. And everlasting Father, people have actually been confused by this reference and have said things like, well, wait, I thought Jesus was the Son. Why is it saying there that he's the everlasting Father? Isn't there a distinction between the Father and the Son? Yes, there is. There is a distinction between the Father and the Son. Again, this isn't Isaiah's intention to talk about these distinct persons within the triune nature of God. A better translation than everlasting Father would probably be Father of Eternity, or as the Latin Vulgate translated it, Father of the Coming Age. And this is the idea behind this particular title. This title refers to the loving paternal concern he has for those who have been committed to his charge. So this title here, Father of the Coming Age, is a revelation of the heart with which he will govern the world. He will govern the world with compassion, mercy, and tenderness. Summed up beautifully in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows their frame. He remembers they are dust. So he will be a benevolent ruler, a compassionate ruler. Now, you could probably count on both of your hands the number of benevolent rulers there have been over the peoples of the earth throughout all of human history. They have been that few and far between. The vast majority of rulers have been harsh, cruel, heartless in many ways. Dictators. The history of the 20th century alone, you can come up with a handful in the 20th century alone, that were ruthless, brutal, heartless men who ruled over nations. And there are still some that we can find today. But his reign is going to be the opposite of that. It's going to be one of compassion and tenderness and mercy. The Father of the Coming Age. And then fourthly, he is referred to as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, because peace will be the thing that will mark the reign of the Lord. Not just a local peace, but a universal peace. Isn't this what the world is crying out for today? Isn't this what so much of the dialogue is about in these various summits and so forth? Everybody's talking about peace, how to obtain peace. We see that peace is elusive. We can talk about it, theorize about it, sing about it, but we just can't seem to attain it. But he is the Prince of Peace. Peace proceeds from him. It's a peace that's founded upon righteousness, and that will be the dominant feature of his reign, and it's put beautifully by both Isaiah and Micah the prophet in these words: they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. All of the resources that have gone into developing weapons will be put to agriculture and such things. So it'll just be a beautiful situation. And every man sitting under his vine or his fig tree, we're supposed to get a picture of this in our mind, of just a beautiful, peaceful, relaxing experience. You know, like it used to be in the old days, you just sit on your porch in the evening watching the sun go down with your wife and kids, and nobody's making you afraid. You're not worried somebody's going to drive by and shoot you or anything like that. You're just at peace. That's what he's describing here. That's what's coming. Now, these things are, as I've said, these are future. This is where things are ultimately headed. And thank God for that. And by faith, we read these passages and we imagine that world that's coming, and we thank the Lord that it is a reality, and we pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done. And we have confidence that the child that was born in Bethlehem, that the son that was given at Calvary, is coming back to establish this kingdom of righteousness. But here's the other side of it. The other side of it is that even though that is coming, that that's a reality, that we wait for it, we don't have to wait for it in the sense that we can't have a taste of it today. You see, what God has done is these things that he's promised to do universally, he has made these things available to people on an individual basis now, today. For the child that was born, the son that was given, upon whose shoulders the government will ultimately be, he is ready, willing, desirous to take over the government of our lives personally, and to be to us individually and personally everything that he's ultimately going to be to the world. He's ready to be that for us today. And so that's the point that I want to really focus in on in our time together, is looking at this from the personal standpoint. And so on a personal level, he is and wants to be, for each one of us personally and individually, he wants to be our wonderful counselor. God has a perfect plan for each one of our lives. I never tire of telling people that, because I think it's such an amazing thing that God actually has a plan. He's already mapped it out. Just like Jesus will bring forth this most brilliant of plans for the world that will result in this universal peace and righteousness, so the Lord has a plan for your life. Because, let's face it, like the nations, our own personal lives are sort of parallel to the nations, in that our lives personally oftentimes are filled with chaos and confusion and perplexity and difficulty, right? And we need a counselor. We need someone to make sense of this. We need someone to give us a plan to sort this out, give us a plan to prosper and to do well and to enjoy life. And that's what the Lord does for us on a personal level. He is the all-wise God who desires to impart to you wisdom and understanding to navigate the difficulties and perplexities of life and to lead you into rich fulfillment. You know, counseling is big business these days, isn't it? And lots of people spend lots of money to go to counselors. Why are they going to counselors? They're going to try to get their life sorted out. Their lives are a mess. And some people go to counselors, you know, individual counselors. Some people go to group therapies. I was talking to a friend this morning who gets up early in the morning, 6 o'clock. He's at a meeting with people. And they're all there with one objective, and it's to try to get their lives sorted. That's what Jesus wants to do for us personally. He wants to sort our lives out. And he comes to us and he brings with him this plan. He says, I've got a plan for your life. And listen, the plan that he has for your life is the best one imaginable. You couldn't sit down and write out a better script for your life than what the Lord has already planned. You couldn't do it. Some people just, for some reason, they find it hard to believe that. For some reason, they seem to think that they could maybe come up with a better one. And they attempt to do that. And they spend sometimes years trying to bring together this plan that they've come up with. But in the end, it never materializes. It never works out. Don't waste a bunch of your life trying to bring about something that's never going to fulfill you, never going to really be what you were created to be. As soon as possible, right now, today, make sure you're submitting yourself to the wonderful counselor. He's got the plan. And you just need to get connected with that. I look at my own life and I think of where I was before I knew the Lord. And I'll tell you, I didn't even have a plan. I was just in confusion. You know, I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. And even the few things that I occasionally sort of thought, well, maybe this is it or that, very quickly I realized, no, that's not it. But now with hindsight, I can look back after all these years and I could see how God's plan was so amazing. It was so wonderful. It was so far beyond anything I would have ever even dreamed up for myself. And truly, as the Lord said, I have discovered that his plans, his thoughts, they're good toward us. They're good. He says, I have plans for you. I have thoughts about you. They're good thoughts. They're good plans. They're not evil thoughts or plans, but they're good to give you a future and to give you a hope. And that's what we have since the child was born in Bethlehem, since the Son of God has come. We have now this wonderful counselor, but he's also the mighty God. He's also the mighty God. And in this sense, what we can know for sure is that he is able to accomplish what he's planned for our lives. He's got all of the resources. He's got everything that's necessary for you to enter into and experience all that he's planned for you. Now, as a father, I might just say, for example, I might look at my children and I might have something for them that I deeply desire. I might have, you know, formulated in my own mind a plan that I think would be great for their lives. And I might be accurate. It might be all right and good. But you know, what I don't have because of my human limitations is I don't necessarily have the power or the resources to make it happen. Not so with God.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Joy to the World, and the resource number is OBB530. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. I Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.